Buddha or Buddha Gautama, also known as Shakyamuni Buddha, was a great spiritual master from ancient India. Born as Prince Siddhartha Gautama in the 5th century BC, he would have naturally inherited the vast wealth of a kingdom. However, the prince one day left the palace life in search of spiritual knowledge. After years of contemplative seeking, the Buddha attained enlightenment under the Bodhi tree. He then shared the merits of his practice by providing a method for other sentient beings to be freed from the cycle of death and rebirth. The rich treasury of Buddha's spiritual teachings on universal truths are studied and revered to this day for their deep wisdom and compassion. Today we would like to share with you the sage teachings of the Buddha as he spoke with a Sangha, a community of monks.
Samyutta Nikaya, the Grouped Discourses.
Sangama Sutta, a battle won. Staying at Savati. Then King Ajatasattu of Magadha, the son of Queen Videha, raising a fourfold army, marched towards Kasi against King Pasanadi Kosala. King Pasanadi heard, "King Ajatasattu of Magadha, the son of Queen Videha, they say, has raised a fourfold army and is marching toward Kasi against me." So King Pasanadi, raising a fourfold army, launched a counterattack toward Kasi against King Ajatasattu. Then King Ajatasattu and King Pasanadi fought a battle, and in that battle, King Ajatasattu defeated King Pasanadi. King Pasanadi, defeated, marched back to his capital at Savati.
Then in the early morning, a large number of monks, having put on their robes and carrying their bowls and outer robes, went into Savati for alms. Having gone for alms in Savati, after the meal, returning from their alms round, they went to the Buddha and on arrival, having bowed down to him, sat to one side. As they were sitting there, they said to the Blessed One,
"Just now, Lord, King Ajatasattu of Magadha, the son of Queen Videha, raising a fourfold army, marched towards Kasi against King Pasanadi Kosala. King Pasanadi heard, "King Ajatasattu of Magadha, the son of Queen Videha, they say, has raised a fourfold army and is marching toward Kasi against me." So King Pasanadi, raising a fourfold army, launched a counterattack toward Kasi against King Ajatasattu.
Then King Ajatasattu and King Pasanadi fought a battle, and in that battle, King Ajatasattu defeated King Pasanadi. King Pasanadi, defeated, marched back to his capital at Savati.
Monks, King Ajatasattu has evil friends, evil comrades, evil companions, whereas King Pasanadi has fine friends, fine comrades, fine companions. Yet for now, King Pasanadi will lie down tonight in pain, defeated.
That is what the Buddha said. Having said that, the one well gone, the teacher said further,
"Winning gives birth to hostility. Losing, one lies down in pain. The calmed lie down with ease, having set winning and losing aside."
Sangama Sutta, A Battle, 2. Staying at Savati. Then King Ajatasattu of Magadha, the son of Queen Vihita, raising a fourfold army, marched toward Kasi against King Pasanadi Kosala. King Pasanadi heard,
"King Ajatasattu of Magadha, the son of Queen Videha, they say, has raised a fourfold army and is marching toward Kasi against me."
So King Pasanadi, raising a fourfold army, launched a counterattack toward Kasi against King Ajatasattu. Then King Ajatasattu and King Pasanadi fought a battle, and in that battle, King Pasanadi defeated King Ajatasattu and captured him alive. The thought then occurred to King Pasanadi,
Even though King Ajatasattu has wronged me, when I have done him no wrong, still he is my nephew. What if I, having confiscated all his elephant troops, all his cavalry, all his chariots, and all his infantry, were to let him go with just his life?
So King Pasanadi, having confiscated all his elephant troops, cavalry, chariots, and infantry, let King Ajatasattu go with just his life.
Then, in the early morning, a large number of monks, having put on their robes and carrying their bowls and outer robes, went into Savatthi for alms. Having gone for alms in Savatthi, after the meal, returning from their alms round, they went to the Buddha, and, on arrival, having bowed down to him, sat to one side. As they were sitting there, they reported these events to the Buddha.
Then, on realizing the significance of that, the Buddha on that occasion exclaimed,
"A man may plunder as long as it serves his ends, but when others are plundered, he who has plundered gets plundered in turn. A fool thinks, 'Now's my chance,' as long as his evil has yet to ripen, but when it ripens, the fool falls into pain. Killing, you gain your killer. Conquering, you gain one who will conquer you. Insulting, insult. Harassing, harassment. And so, through the cycle of action, he who has plundered gets plundered in turn."
Nakashika Sutta, the tip of the fingernail. I have heard that on one occasion the Buddha was staying near Savatthi at Jetta's Grove, Anathapindika's monastery. Then the Buddha, picking up a little bit of dust with the tip of his fingernail, said to the monks,
"What do you think, monks? Which is greater, the little bit of dust I have picked up with the tip of my fingernail, or the great earth?"
"The great earth is far greater, Lord. The little bit of dust the Blessed One has picked up with the tip of his fingernail is next to nothing. It's not a hundredth, a thousandth, a 100,000th. This little bit of dust the Blessed One has picked up with the tip of his fingernail when compared with the great earth."
In the same way, monks, for a disciple of the Noble Ones who is consummate in view, an individual who has broken through to stream entry, the suffering and stress that is totally ended and extinguished is far greater. That which remains in the state of having at most 7 remaining lifetimes is next to nothing. It's not a hundredth, a thousandth, a 100,000th when compared with the previous mass of suffering. That's how great the benefit is of breaking through to the Dharma, monks. That's how great the benefit is of obtaining the Dharma eye.
Hokarani Sutta, the pond. Staying at Savatthi.
Suppose, monks, that there were a pond 50 leagues wide, 50 leagues long, and 50 leagues deep, filled to overflowing with water so that a crow could drink from it, and a man would draw some water out of it with the tip of a blade of grass. What do you think? Which would be greater? The water drawn out with the tip of the blade of grass, or the water in the pond?
The water in the pond would be far greater, Lord. The water drawn out with the tip of the blade of grass would be next to nothing. It wouldn't be a hundredth, a thousandth, a 100,000th. The water drawn out with the tip of the blade of grass when compared with the water in the pond.
In the same way, monks, for a disciple of the Noble Ones who is consummate in view, an individual who has broken through to stream entry, the suffering and stress that is totally ended and extinguished is far greater. That which remains in the state of having at most 7 remaining lifetimes is next to nothing. It's not a hundredth, a thousandth, a 100,000th when compared with the previous mass of suffering. That's how great the benefit is of breaking through to the Dharma, monks. That's how great the benefit is of obtaining the Dharma eye.
Samudra Sutta, the ocean. staying at Savatthi.
Suppose, monks, that the great ocean was gone to extinction, to its total end, except for two or three drops of water. What do you think, which would be greater, the water in the great ocean that had gone to extinction, to its total end, or the two or three remaining drops of water?
Lord, the water in the great ocean that had gone to extinction to its total end would be far greater. The two or three remaining drops of water would be next to nothing. They wouldn't be a hundredth, a thousandth, a 100,000th, the two or three remaining drops of water, when compared with the water in the great ocean that had gone to extinction to its total end.
In the same way, monks, for a disciple of the noble ones, who is consummate in view, an individual who has broken through to stream entry, the suffering and stress that is totally ended and extinguished is far greater. That which remains in the state of having at most seven remaining lifetimes is next to nothing. It's not a hundredth, a thousandth, a 100,000th when compared with the previous mass of suffering. That's how great the benefit is of breaking through to the Dharma, monks. That's how great the benefit is of obtaining the Dharma eye.
Kuma Sutta, the Turtle. Staying at Savatthi.
Monks, gains, offerings, and fame are a cruel thing, a harsh, bitter obstacle to the attainment of the unexcelled rest from bondage. Once, monks, a large family of turtles had lived for a long time in a certain freshwater lake. Then one turtle said to another, "My cherished turtle, don't go to that area." But the turtle went to that area, and because of that, a hunter lanced him with a harpoon. So he went back to the first turtle. The first turtle saw him coming from afar, and on seeing him said to him,
"I hope, cherished turtle, that you didn't go to that area."
"I went to that area, turtle friend."
"Then I hope you haven't been wounded or hurt."
"I haven't been wounded or hurt, but there's this cord that keeps dragging around behind me."
"Yes, cherished turtle, you're wounded and you're hurt. It was because of that cord that your father and grandfather fell into misfortune and disaster. Now go, cherished turtle, you are no longer one of us."
The hunter, monks, stands for Mara, the evil one. The harpoon stands for gains, offerings, and fame. The cord stands for delight and passion. Any monk who relishes and revels in gains, offerings, and fame that have arisen is called a monk lanced by the harpoon, who has fallen into misfortune and disaster. The evil one can do with him as he will. That's how cruel gains, offerings, and fame are. A harsh, bitter obstacle to the attainment of the unexcelled rest from bondage.
So you should train yourselves. We will put aside any gains, offerings, and fame that have arisen, and we will not let any gains, offerings, and fame that have arisen keep our minds consumed. That's how you should train yourselves. Pilahaka Sutta, the Dung Beetle. Dwelling at Savatthi.
Monks, gains, offerings, and fame are a cruel thing, a harsh, bitter obstacle to the attainment of the unexcelled rest from bondage. Suppose there were a beetle, a dung eater, full of dung, gorged with dung, with a huge pile of dung in front of him. He, because of that, would look down on other beetles.
"Yes, siree, I am a dung eater, full of dung, gorged with dung, with a huge pile of dung in front of me."
In the same way, there is a case where a certain monk, conquered by gains, offerings, and fame, his mind consumed, puts on his robe, and carrying his bowl and outer robe, goes into a village or town for alms. Having eaten there as much as he likes, full of alms food, and invited again for the next day, he goes to the monastery and, in the midst of a group of monks, boasts,
"I have eaten as much as I like. I am full of alms food and have been invited again for tomorrow. I am a recipient of robes, alms food, lodgings, and medicinal requisites for curing illness. These other monks, though, have next to no merit, next to no influence. They aren't recipients of robes, alms food, lodgings, and medicinal requisites for curing illness.
Conquered by gains, offerings, and fame, his mind consumed, he looks down on other well-behaved monks. That will be for this worthless man's long-term suffering and harm. That's how cruel gains, offerings, and fame are, a harsh, bitter obstacle to the attainment of the unexcelled rest from bondage.
Thus you should train yourselves. We will put aside any gains, offerings, and fame that have arisen, and we will not let any gains, offerings, and fame that have arisen keep our minds consumed. That's how you should train yourselves. Sagala Sutta, The Jackal. Dwelling at Savatthi.
Monks, gains, offerings, and fame are a cruel thing, a harsh, bitter obstacle to the attainment of the unexcelled rest from bondage. Have you heard the jackal howling in the last hours of the night?
Yes, Lord Buddha.
That jackal is suffering from mange. He finds no pleasure, whether he goes to a bluff, to the foot of a tree, or to the open air. Wherever he goes, wherever he stands, wherever he sits, wherever he lies down, he is sunk in misery. In the same way, there is the case where a certain monk is conquered by gains, offerings, and fame, his mind consumed. He finds no pleasure whether he goes to an empty dwelling, to the foot of a tree, or to the open air. Wherever he goes, wherever he stands, wherever he sits, wherever he lies down, he is sunk in misery. That's how cruel gains, offerings, and fame are, a harsh, bitter obstacle to the attainment of the unexcelled rest from bondage.
Thus you should train yourselves. We will put aside any gains, offerings, and fame that have arisen, and we will not let any gains, offerings, and fame that have arisen keep our minds consumed. That's how you should train yourselves.
We thank you for your company today for Between Master and Disciples here on Supreme Master Television. Animal World, our co-inhabitants, is up next after noteworthy news. May the Providence grace your life with joyous days and peaceful moments.